Hare Krishna. We're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 31, text 29. Oh, chapter 8, text 29. Thank you. Early morning. Right. So there are a number of verses we will be reading. And then the 36th is here, which we'll repeat. 36th. So I'll read the ones before that. When they regained their sanity, they both sat down, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and began to speak as follows. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya spoke of your good qualities, and he made a great endeavor to convince me to meet you. Indeed, I have come here just to meet you. It is very good that even without making an effort, I have gotten your interview here. So this is Lord Chaitanya telling Ramananda Rai. Now Ramananda Rai replies, Ramananda Rai replied, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thinks of me as a servant. Even in my absence, he is very careful to do me good. By his mercy, I have received your interview here. Consequently, I consider that today I have become a successful human being. I can see that you have bestowed special mercy upon Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Therefore, you have touched me. Although I am untouchable, this is due only to your love for him. Beg your pardon, this is due only to his love for you. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana himself, and I am only a government servant, interested in materialistic activities. Indeed, I am the lowest among men of the fourth class. Now we are on this verse, text 36, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. You do not fear the Vedic injunctions stating that you should not associate with a Shudra. You were not contemptuous of my touch, although in the Vedas you are forbidden to associate with Shudras. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, Mam hi partha vyapashritya yepi syu papa yonayaha striyo vaishyas tatha shudras te piyanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of low birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, as well as Shudras, workers, can attain the supreme destination. The word Papa Yonayaha means born of lower caste women. The Vaishyas are merchants and the Shudras or workers are servants. According to Vedic classification, they belong to a lower social order. A low life means a life without Krishna consciousness. And this is very important. A low life means a life without Krishna consciousness. High and low position in society were calculated by considering a person's Krishna consciousness. A Brahmana is considered to be on the highest platform because he knows Brahman, the absolute truth. The second caste, the Kshatriya caste, also know Brahman, but not as well as the Brahmanas. The Vaishyas and Shudras do not clearly understand God consciousness. But if they take to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, they do not remain in the lower castes, Papa Yonayaha. So that's another very important statement. The Vaishyas and Shudras do not clearly understand God consciousness, but if they take to Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master, they do not remain in the lower castes, papayonayaha. It is clearly stated, tepi yanti param gatim. Unless one has attained the highest standard of life, one cannot return back home, back to Godhead. One may be a Shudra, Vaishya or woman, but if one is situated in the service of the Lord, in Krishna consciousness, one should not be considered Stri, Shudra, Vaishya or lower than Shudra. So again, very important point. One may be a Shudra, Vaishya or woman, but if one is situated in the service of the Lord, in Krishna consciousness, one should not be considered Stri, Shudra, Vaishya or lower than Shudra. Though a person may be from a low-born family, if he is engaged in the Lord's service, he should never be considered to belong to a low-born family. The Padma Purana forbids, Vikshate jati samanyat sayati narakam dhruvam. A person goes to hell quickly when he considers a devotee of the Lord in terms of his birth. Although Sri Ramananda Rai supposedly took birth in a Shudra family, he is not to be considered a Shudra, for he was a great advanced devotee. Indeed, he was on the transcendental platform. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore embraced him. Out of spiritual humility, Sri Ramananda Rai presented himself as a Shudra. Rajashebi Bishaya Shudra Dhamma. Even though one may engage in government service or in any other pounds, shillings, pence business, in short, in materialistic life, he need only take to Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. One need only chant the holy names of the Lord and strictly follow the principles forbidding sinful activity. In this way, one can no longer be considered an untouchable, a Bishayi or a Shudra. One who is advanced in spiritual life should not associate with non-devotees, namely men in government service and men engaged in materialistic activity for sense gratification or in service of others. Such men are considered Vishayi, materialistic. It is said, Nishkinchanasya Bhagavad Bhajanon Mukhasya Paramparam Jigamishor Bhavasagarasya Sandarshanam Vishaina Mathayoshitamcha Ahanta Hanta Visha Bhakshanatopya Sadhu. A person who is very seriously engaged in cultivating devotional service with a view to crossing the ocean of nations and who has completely abandoned all material activities should never see a Shudra, a Vaishya or a woman. Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka 8.23. Om Adhyanti Mirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a beautiful section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela where Ramananda Rai is, well actually, where Lord Chaitanya is meeting Ramananda Rai. Ramananda Rai seems to be doing his daily rounds. So Ramananda Rai was from Rajamundry. Rajamundry now is in Andhra Pradesh, which is in Godavari River. Yes, absolutely. Are you from Andhra? Oh, okay, you're Telugu. Yes, it's on the Rajamundry is on the banks of the Godavari River. And it belonged to Maharaj Pratap Rudra's kingdom originally. You know, that is why that particular place, although it's now a different state in India, it used to be part of Utkala, which is Orissa. And Ramananda Roy was a government servant. He was 40 years old. And Lord Chaitanya, a young sannyasi, 20 years old, half his age, was sent by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Well, in one sense he wasn't sent, but he was asked by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to meet Ramananda Roy. It's very interesting. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was originally from Navadvip, and he had settled in Jagannath Puri, becoming the chief advisor to the king. And Bhattacharya was extremely learned. He was a Brahmin of the highest order. And when Lord Chaitanya, who also apparently appeared in a Brahmin family, when he decided to go to start his tour of South India on the pretext of looking for his brother, Bhattacharya said, "You should go and see Ramananda Roy. He knows the truth like no one else." But Ramananda Roy was A, apparently a very materialistic person. B, he was working in a government, you know, like ordinary government minister. Politicians are not the best species to be around with. They say one thing one moment, next moment they say something else. You can never trust them. And more importantly, in that particular social context of the day, Ramananda Roy was a kayastha. Kayastha is a community where when the wife is not of a Brahmana order, but the father is a Brahmana, the wife may be a Shudra or some kind of a Varna Shankara, then what is produced is a child who is considered to be Kayastha. So there are even today Kayastha communities in India, and some very famous people in the Kayastha community. The first president of India was a Kayastha. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was, I just realized, he was also belonging to the Kayastha community. So they are generally considered to be Shudras. So was Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, if you think of the background. So Ramananda Roy, apparently a Shudra, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the highest Brahmin, he's advising that you must meet this Ramananda Roy, who is a Shudra. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, we heard yesterday, and then we've been hearing previously how the interaction between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy was, how they embraced each other, and how the Lord says ultimately that actually we are like-minded, because I'm mad and you are equally mad. So two mad people meet. Isn't that fun? Yeah, like-minded madness. And that's what they, mad in love of God. So, Ramananda Roy is not an ordinary person. Apparently he's a Shudra, apparently. But who is he in his real, what's his real identity in Krishna Loka? Anyone? Vishakha, that's correct. What else? Is that it? Is he Vishakha Devi? So he's Arjuna. Yeah, that is also correct. Anything else? Arjuna Gopi as well. That is also correct. Anything else? So he's Arjuna. The Pandava, yeah, the Pandava Arjuna. Okay, he's Pandava Arjuna, he's Vishakha, he's also Arjuniya Gopi. Now, I don't know if everyone knows who Arjuna Gopi was. Anyone else? Anything else? Any other identity? Yes, David. Huh? He's Nara Narayan? Nara of the Narayana? Yes, Arjuna is. So in that sense, you could say that. He's Lalita. That is also correct. Anything else? There is a Sakha in Brajalila whose name is Arjuna. He's a Sakha of the Lord. He's also that. So he has all of these personalities. Different authorities say different things. Actually, Amrita Prabha Bhashya of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he chooses to relate Ramananda Rai to Vishakha Devi. But equally, in Gaur Ganodesh Deepika also it is said, different people consider him to be different personalities, including Arjuna, the Pandava, Arjuna, the Sakha in Braja, Arjuniya Gopi, Lalita, and of course Vishakha. So how can one person be all of these? It's not so mystical. The person is identified in Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, he's identified. Kavi Karnapur identifies all the associates of Mahaprabhu as originally associates of Krishna based on their interaction with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in many, many instances, and we don't have time for that today, but there are 7 pastimes with Ramananda Rai, in which I wrote once an article on how Ramananda Rai is everything, each one of these personalities. Because his interaction with Lord Chaitanya was like Arjuna, was like Arjuniya Gopi, was like Vishakha, Lalita. But then the primary position that he has is that of Vishakha Devi. That is his primary position. And we find this in Padma Purana. In Padma Purana it is mentioned that in Patala Khand, chapter 74 of the Patala Khand of Padma Purana, it is mentioned how Arjuna once approaches Lord Krishna and says, "My dear Lord, I have heard that you constantly, your heart is constantly with the gopis in Braj. And you are constantly thinking of them. You constantly cry for their association. Please tell me, who are they? What are their names? Where do they live? What pastimes do you have with them? Please tell me." And then in reply, Krishna says, he actually says this verse. He says, "Shri Bhagavan Uvacha," this is from Padma Purana, "Tatsthanam Vallabhastame." Their position, the position of these gopis, "viharas tadrisho mama," and my pastimes with them, "api prana samananam," even those who are as good as my own life, which means dear to me, even they, "satyam pumsam agocharah," they are not able to know. Why? Because they have a male outlook, pumsa. So saying this, Krishna says, "Arjuna, because you are in a men's body, you cannot understand. I cannot tell you. It's not that I'll tell you about them and you'll understand. For that, you'd have to meditate on Tripura Sundari." Tripura Sundari is Durga Devi. This is in Padma Purana and it's accepted by our Gaudiya authorities. And then Tripura Sundari, Gauri Devi, she, and I'll just, it's a very long pastime, but in essence, Tripura Sundari, in the form of Yoga Maya, Because Tripura Sundari and Yogamaya is the same personality. Tripura Sundari, she is Devi who looks after the material world, and Yogamaya is in charge of the spiritual world. She, when Arjuna surrenders to her and begs her to reveal her form as Yogamaya, she actually allows him entrance into Vrindavan. And then she takes her to a particular palace. He goes to the palace and then he takes a dip in Kulakunda, which is a kunda, a particular lake. And he comes out as Arjuniya Gopi. And then he's taken to Srimati Radharani, and Srimati Radharani accepts him as one of her Priya Sakhis. And this is how Arjuna became Arjuniya Gopi. This is mentioned in the Padma Purana. So this is the same personality, Ramananda Rai. So he is, of course, there are injunctions in the Vedas that anyone who is unfit, who does not have adhikar, is not allowed to read the Vedas or study the Vedas. Even in Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, chapter 4, verse 25, it says, Stri Shudra Dvijabandhunam Traina Shruti Gochara. These three are not allowed to read the Vedas. Who three? The Stri, the women. Shudra means those who are born of lower caste, or lower family. And Dvijabandhu is those who are, friend of the Brahmanas. Yeah, so those who have fallen from the path of being a Brahmana. And in Bhagavad Gita, they are referred to as Papa Yoni, born of sin, literally. Papa Yoni literally means born of sin, because they were produced not with proper samskaras, but just appeared. Like the children of cats and dogs, Srila Prabhupada says. So one thing to bear in mind is that anyone, no matter what their birth, and this is the contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very unique contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In all the other sampradayas, they have some strict belief systems where they say, well, certain people cannot perform certain kind of activities. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the one who said, and that's very unique for his philosophy, that as long as one is a Vaishnava, one is above all their birth or preconditioned related ideas. So as long as one is a Vaishnava, one surpasses their, as Prabhupada says in the purport as well, which I emphasized, that one is no longer a woman, a Shudra, or a Vishayi. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and we don't just see it in the case of Lord Chaitanya, but just throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, we see that all the opposites are true. Generally speaking, the demigods are superior, but in Bhagavatam we have a demon, Vritrasura, who is advising and teaching a demigod, well, not just any demigod, the king of demigods, Indra. Generally, you don't have a son teaching the father. It's the father teaching the son. You have Prahlad, the son, teaching the father, Hiranyakashipu. Generally, you don't have, we consider mother to be the first guru. And yet, Kapila teaches Devahuti, and Devahuti calls Kapila her first guru. So the son is teaching the mother, who's meant to be the first guru. We have the Brahmanas. They are meant to be very learned. But the wives of the Brahmanas, who are meant to be ordinary women, are said to be superior to the Brahmanas who know the Yajnas. So in Bhagavatam, we have this contradiction. We have generally, for example, if somebody is a sinner, they have to go to hell. And the Yamadutas, they are eager to get that person to hell. But in Bhagavatam, we see there is a sinner, Ajamila, who is not, well, there is no sin that he hasn't committed. And yet the Yamadutas run away from him. There's contradictions. Why? Because all these examples, all these personalities have Krishna Bhakti. Because they are devotees. So they become superior to any generally preconceived position. And we may sometimes come across people who say, who use these verses to say that, like this verse here in Bhagavad Gita, Striyo Vaishyas Tatha Shudras Tepi Yanti Param Gatim Papa Yonayaha. They may say, well, women, Vaishyas and Shudras are low born or sinful. In reality, that may be true, but it is also true that Manda Sumanda Matayo, everyone in Kali Yuga is low born. So if you think logically, a male black crow is telling that the female crows are black. But who is he? He's black too. Isn't it? Do you get the logic? If some people are saying that, oh, these are Vaishya Shudras, are low born. Well, mister, if you're saying that, you are in the same camp. You just not looked at yourself in the mirror. Because Shastras say everyone in Kali Yuga is low born. So Papa Yoni, everyone is Papa Yoni. In fact, Shankaracharya says, Papa Atma, Papa Sambhavaha. Shankaracharya prays that I am full of sin and I am born of sin. Even Shankaracharya says. So one should not be saying, oh well, I am at least a Brahmana born in India and I know so much, so many things. Because the fact is that in Kali Yuga, we are all the same. Kalau Sarve Shudraha Purana say, in Kali Yuga, everyone is a Shudra. Qualified Shudra. Yeah, we all have qualifications. Bachelors, masters, we've gone to university. Qualified Shudras. What Shudras? Doesn't matter. So, so why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu consider Ramananda Rai as of a caliber that he is willing to embrace Ramananda Rai? Why is that? Because Mahaprabhu says, later on we will see in this chapter itself, text 128, he says, Kiba Bipro Kiba Nyasi Shudra Kene Noya. Who is a sannyasi? Who is a brahmana? Who is a shudra? Jai Krishna Tattva Vetta Shai Guru Hoya. Who knows, whoever knows Krishna Tattva, that person is guru. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what apparently their background is. The apparent background does not matter. And we find that many examples, for example, Kalidas, who was the uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami, he was living in Navadvip. And Kalidas had faith in three things. Bhaktapada Dhuli Yara, Bhaktapada Jala, Bhaktapada Dhuli, the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. Bhaktapada Jala, the water that has washed the feet of the devotees. Bhakta bhukta avesha. Whatever the devotees have eaten, their remnants, leftover of a devotee. He had faith in these three things. Tina mahabala. These are very great. The dust, the water that has washed the feet, and the leftover of a devotee. So he would scheme in many ways to invite devotees home and do some, you know, very interesting thing. Sometimes he would just, while the devotee is about to finish the last morsel, he would snatch the plate and say, oh, there's a hair in that. Okay, let me take it away. I'll get you some more. And devotee would say, no, I'm full anyway. It's fine. And then he would go inside the kitchen and he would eat the leftover of the devotee from the devotee's plate. So there was one particular devotee. His name was, his name is not given in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He has been referred to as Jhadu Thakur. Jhadu means broom. And Thakur is a title of respect. He was from a Bhangimali caste. Bhangimali means these are low caste. They clean gutters. They are considered to be the most untouchable people in India. So this Jhadu Thakur, but he was a great Vaishnava. Apparently, he was engaged in this profession, but he was a great Vaishnava. But he was very poor. He had a wife. He had children. So once Kalidas, who was a great Brahmana by birth, he schemed. He told Jhadu Thakur, I have got some mangoes for you, for your deities. Please accept these mangoes. Jhadu Thakur accepted the mangoes. I'm just shortening the pastime. And he offered the mangoes to his deities. And he invited Kalidas to his house. Actually, it wasn't an invitation directly. Kalidas self-invited himself to his house. You know, there are some devotees who self-invite. They just say, it'll be so nice if I come. You'll be so blessed. So let me come. So he self-invited. Okay, I want to go to this house. So he said, I want to go to your, come to your house. So Jhadu Thakur said, I am a Shudra. How can you come to my house? He said, no, I have to come because I have to, I have to take darshan of your deities. So I have to come. So he went there. And then he saw that they had all, actually Jhadu Thakur says that you are a Brahmana, you cannot eat in my house. I will arrange your prasadam in some nice Brahmana's house. He said, don't bother. Just offer these mangoes and have the mangoes. So he offers the mangoes. He has the mangoes and the peels of the mangoes. And because they are poor, they usually don't eat mangoes. So they really scrape the peels of the mangoes. And even the seeds, they chewed it properly, everything, all the rasa is gone. And Kalidas said, okay, I'm leaving. And he left and he hid behind a tree. And then he saw the Jhadu Thakur, he came out with a pile of garbage in which were these leftover skins of mango and the seeds of mango. And he threw that in the pile of garbage. And this Kalidas, along with the dogs who went there to the garbage pile. If you go to India, there are many dogs eating from the garbage pile. Kalidas, pretending to be a dog on his all fours, he went to the garbage pile, fought off the other dogs, got the mangoes, and started licking those mangoes. And the point is, this Jhadu Thakur was not some great personality who everyone cherished and wanted to be with. And he was just, in one sense, an ordinary person. But he wasn't. He was a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is far superior to a Brahmana. In fact, one Srila Prabhupada said, and I don't have the quote with me, but somebody might know it. Srila Prabhupada said, My Guru Maharaj's contribution was that he fought with the Brahmanas. That was his contribution. And then Prabhupada said, Lord Chaitanya's contribution was that he fought with the Smarthas. The Smartha Brahmanas. Now, unfortunately, in our current society, if we don't understand the value of a Vaishnava, then we consider so many other things other than a Vaishnava to be important. But actually, the Vaishnava is far superior to a Brahmana. It is said, Devahuti, Mother Devahuti tells Kapila, Aho bata swapachoto gariyan. And actually, Jiva Goswami in his commentary says, here gariyan. Jiva Goswami says, gariyan here means guru. So he says, Aho bata, it's such a surprise that even a dog eater has become guru. Why he has become guru? Yad jivagre, because on the tip of his tongue he has one quality. Vartate namatubhyam, because on the tip of his tongue he always has your name, your holy names. So one who is chanting the holy names of the Lord, they must have done five things. It is said that for one to become a great Brahmana, one has to do five things. One, tapasya. Two, yajna, swaha, they have to do that. Number three, they have to go to all the holy places and take bath there. Number four, they have to have qualities of arya. Arya here means one who is pure-hearted. And number five, they must have studied the Vedas. Only if you do these five things, then you are a Brahmana. Now just see what this verse says. And it's very, very telling. This verse is very important. Mother Devahuti is telling Kapila, Te pustapatte. These people who are chanting the holy names of the Lord, they may be born of dog eaters' family, but they are gurus. Why? Because they have done all the tapasya that is needed in their previous life. Only then are they able to chant the holy name of the Lord. Tepus tapaste juhuvu. Juhuvu, they have done all the yadnas. Sashnuhu, they have taken bath in all the holy places. Arya, they have developed all the good qualities of a Brahmana. And Brahmanuchur nama grinanti yete, because they are nama grinanti, because they have accepted the holy name, they have also read all the Vedas. So all the five qualities needed to become a Brahmana, Mother Devahuti says, they have already done that in their previous life. It's done, graduated. Those who are Brahmanas, they are graduating. But these people are graduated already. Once Madhudvisha Prabhu, he went to, I will not mention the name of that temple, very big temple in Vrindavan, run by the Jati Gosai. Jati Gosai are those who consider themselves to be Goswamis by birth. So this big temple, he went to the temple, this is in 1974. And Madhudvisha Prabhu, he spoke to this Jati Goswami. He was a sannyasi at that time, so Madhudvisha Swami. He spoke to this Jati Goswami, and the Jati Goswami said, Oh, you have taken the staff and you become sannyasi. Okay, take this flower. I give you blessing that maybe in your next life you may be born in a Brahmin family. He told Madhudvisha Prabhu. So Srila Prabhupada was in his rooms, and when Madhudvisha Prabhu went back to see Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada asked him, how was your tour of Vrindavan? And Madhavadasa Prabhu said, I went to Kaliaghat and this, that. And then he said, I went to such and such temple. And the Jati Goswami said that he gave me blessings. He gave me this flower and he gave me blessing. That may I be born in Brahman family in my next life. He was American. So Srila Prabhupada had a garland on his desk from the deities. He said, you at once, right now, you take this garland and go to that Jati Goswami. And when he's, wherever he is on the altar or wherever, you put the garland around his neck and tell him, my spiritual master has given you blessing that if you are so fortunate, maybe in some future life, you may be born in the Hare Krishna movement. This is true. Vaishnavas are superior than Brahmanas. So, if Vaishnavas are superior than Brahmanas, and again, Narad Muni is confirming this to Yudhishthir Maharaj in 7th canto, chapter 9, verse 10. Narad Muni says, Vipra dvishada guna yutad aravinda nabha. Vipra means a Brahmana. Dvishada guna. Dvi means two. Shad means six. 2 into 6 is 12. There is mathematics also in Bhagavatam. So 2 into 6, 12. Those who have 12 gunas, the Brahmanas with full 12 gunas, better than them, if these Brahmanas are padaravinda vimukhat, if they are not interested in Krishna and they are Brahmanas with 12 gunas, better than them is shvapacham varishtam. A dog eater who has become a Vaishnava is better. Manye tadarpita manovachan ehita artha. So he says, why is a dog eater better? One who may be born in a dog eater family, but he is now a Vaishnava, he is better than these Brahmanas. Why? Because manaha, by mind, vachaha, by words, ita, by activities, artha, by money, pranam, by his very life. In these five ways, we can serve Krishna. Mahaprabhu says this in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, to Sanatana Goswami. Five ways to serve Krishna. How you serve Krishna? By mind, by words, by activities, through money, and by dedicating one's entire life. Punati sakulam natu bhuri manaha. Not these people who think themselves as great Brahmanas. They are nobody. He says, only one who is dedicating his life in the service of the Lord, he is superior. So if that is the case, if Vaishnavas are superior than the Brahmanas, then I have a question. You see the deities are there and you see the Vrindadevi Mataji was worshipping and she is a Vaishnavi and we are Vaishnavas and we are superior than Brahmanas. So we can all, after the class, jump onto the altar and start, you know, embracing the Lord. Will it be okay? Because Vaishnavas are superior than Brahmanas. Will it be okay? Is it correct? Can we do that? Yes? No? Oh, everyone is wondering what to answer. Only, okay, so pure Vaishnavas like Jadu Thakur could come and just walk on the altar. So we should know Siddhanta very, very, very well. Siddhanta means the principles. So this is the principle and I will make it, try and make it slightly easy by giving you an example. You see, imagine you have a big company and there is an owner of the company. So listen very carefully and you will understand. There is an owner of the company. Now in our case, consider that to be Lord Krishna himself, who is the main man, main person. And the owner has a son. The owner has a son. And the owner also, because he owns a company, there are so many other departments and different people are in different departments. So for example, there is a finance manager who is managing the finances. Now you answer my question, is the owner's son more powerful and higher than the finance manager of the company? Yes, of course, because he's the son of the owner. However, will that son of the owner be able to do the duty of the finance manager just because he is the son? No. He'll need to be trained to become the finance manager. But is there any restriction for that son to become a finance manager, or for that matter, chief of operation, chief of staff, chief of whatever, chief of marketing? No. So, a Vaishnava is like that son of the owner. A Vaishnava means he has all qualification. He can become Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, anything. However, the aspect of training is still needed. So the Siddhanta given by Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, what is mentioned in the Sandarbha is that Vaishnavas are superior to the Brahmanas. But yet, just like the son of the owner is superior to all the other employees of the company. He's superior to all employees. But yet he cannot become the finance manager or the finance director. Why? He needs training. Similarly, Vaishnavas are qualified, however, to perform the activity of a Brahmana, they have to be trained. So that training is needed. But the fact is that one who is a Vaishnava is still superior to not just a Brahmana, but also all Brahminical activities, so-called Brahminical activities. And those who are on the altar, they are not Brahmanas. We consider them to be Brahmanas. They are Vaishnava Brahmanas. So they are Vaishnavas first and then they are Brahmanas. And because they are Vaishnava Brahmanas, they are on the altar. So the only qualification in the movement, in our movement, is that one needs to be a Vaishnava. And Vaishnavas are superior. So you see here, when Mahaprabhu says, Ramananda Rai says, Morasparse na korilo grina. You have not restricted yourself from touching me. Veda bhaya. Even the Vedas say you should not touch a Shudra. But you have not considered me a Shudra and you have not been afraid of touching me. Mora darshana toma bede nishedhaya. Even the Vedas say you should not even look at me and yet you have embraced me. Why do we think Mahaprabhu has done that? Because Ramananda Rai externally may be performing any duty of whatever. But in essence, he is a Vaishnava. And I think this is to be realized. So I'll pause here and see if anyone has any questions or any comments. And then I have a few more things. If time permits, I'll add. But yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
If one is not inclined to do all these five activities of Brahmana at all.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I was in my mind, I'm not inclined to do any of those. You know that I'm Vaishnava or something. That means that I did already in past and just continue my life. Just don't have an absolute inclination to any of those.
Yeah, so what if one has no inclination to do any of the Brahmanical, the five things that I mentioned? That is perfectly fine as long as one cultivates the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. Every Vaishnava should cultivate the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. Anyway, the 12 qualities of a Brahmana, 26 is bigger than 12 anyway. So Vaishnavas are superior to Brahmana. So if you are doing 26 qualities, if you are working towards those 26 qualities, one doesn't have to be a Brahmana. Like in this world, not everyone, in Indian families, when children grow up, their parents generally say, well, at least until the previous generation, you have to become a doctor or an engineer. Imagine the whole world is full of doctors and engineers. So, you know, you can't have everyone a doctor. You can't have everyone being a Brahmana. If you don't have the inclination, perfectly fine. We are Vaishnavas. We are not Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Shudras. These are by the by. As I said, it's the being of a Vaishnava which is the highest qualification. Yes. You had a question? Then I'll go to Antaranga Prabhu. Yeah.
Thank you for the class, Prabhu. It's just a little bit of a technical one.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could explain a bit more how you mentioned towards the beginning how that, depending on how the associates of Lord Chaitanya interacted with him, that was their relationship with Krishna. So I was just wondering how that works, because often we hear that it's like an empowerment by the Shakti of the, or there's some kind of, so I'm just wondering if you could elaborate on that, how that actually
there's
works.
Empowerment by?
So normally it's, or at least from what I've heard, is someone in the spiritual world is empowered in a certain way by that person, and then in the material world they have, maybe that's like Ramananda, where he has some empowerment from these people in the spiritual world, but I'm just wondering how,
yes,
how it works.
So in case of Lord Chaitanya's associates, I mean, not only Ramananda Rai, there are other associates who have multiple, just think of Gadadhar Pandit. Who is Gadadhar Pandit? Gadadhar Pandit is? Well, we say Radharani, but we also say Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna. So what aspect of Radharani is Gadadhar? Huh? Internal potency? So, Gadadhar Pandit is duty. Duty of Radharani. Duty means a reflection, and he is that part of Radharani which is considering herself to be subordinate to Krishna. How do we know that? We know that through Gadadhar Pandit's interaction of Lord Chaitanya, with Lord Chaitanya. He was always subordinate to Lord Chaitanya. He always would remain quiet in front of Lord Chaitanya. So that's how we know, just to answer your question. So these personalities, multiple personalities, can exist in one person. And that those personalities are not like, anyways, these are not jivas, ordinary jivas. So to go a little deeper, Lalita, Vishakha are not ordinary jivas. They are direct expansion of the energy of the Lord. So they are direct expansion of Srimati Radharani. No one can ever think of becoming those kind of chief gopis. Okay. Then same with Arjuna Gopi. So then we only remained with Arjuna. Now was Arjuna jiva or was he not? He was a jiva. Rupa Goswami says he was a jiva. However, when Ramananda Rai appeared, Ramananda Rai appeared as a jiva, a living entity. So in that Arjuna's, with that jiva potency, he appeared along with the energy potency. So if you actually analyze all of Mahaprabhu's associates, you could analyze like that. And we understand them like with Gadadhar Pandit. If he is Radharani, where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is Radharani and Krishna? So are there two Radharanis then? No. He is that portion which is subservient to Krishna. How do we know? We know through interaction. We know through observation. We know through the pastime.
It's by their actions that we can tell who they are, not that by their actions they become that.
No, they don't become that. Yeah.
That was...
They are, yes. Oh, good. Yes, Antarang Prabhu. Anyone in the ladies has any questions? Yeah, okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the brilliant class. I have one question. Then you make one statement or one point. You said, as long as one is a Vaishnava, that's the main qualification. So the point which came to my mind is, in connection with following of the points like, as women, Shudras, and merchants, the merchant class, they cannot, let's say, approach the Vedas or the kind of highest conclusion of the Vedas. So my question is, for instance, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's mentioned that there's certain yoga ladder, and the highest on the top yoga ladder is the bhakti, those which approach Krishna in devotion. So
yeah.
My question is, for those which are not practicing bhakti yoga, is it that the limitations of the Vedas are applied for them? Or because, for instance, on book distribution or marathon, these personalities which we approach, not all of them are bhaktas. So is it that we should feel some kind of a limitation, or should we rather see a destination that by allowing them, they may become Krishna bhaktas?
Yeah.
Can you clarify this point, please?
Wonderful question. There's two parts to your question. The first part is, as you said, yeah, when you are, you're thinking, how is this, is there a limitation that we must think of in terms of Vedas and Vedic literature for those who are not devotees? And then how should we deal with the book distribution aspect? These are the two parts. So actually, if you think, the answer is right here in the Bhagavad Gita 9:32. Mam hi partha vyapashritya yepi syu papa yonayaha. Whoever takes my shelter, vyapashritya ashrayaha. The word ashraya is there in there. One who takes my shelter. So if you distribute books and they have touched the book, they have taken shelter. They have given you time. They did not even touch the book, but they gave you some time. They stopped. They didn't even stop. They looked at you in passing. Krishna will consider that to be the first step to getting shelter. Okay. So, papa yonayaha, even if they are from papa yonis, striyaha, vaishyaha, tatha, shudraha, te api, api means they also, even they, yanti param gatim, even they attain the highest destination. So Krishna is saying, actually this verse is very misconstrued many times, where they say that Krishna is here calling women, the mercantile class, and the Shudras as of sinful origin. Krishna is not saying that. What he's saying is, even those others who consider them to be of sinful origin, when they surrender to me, they rise above everything. Krishna is saying that. He's saying that here, by taking shelter of me, they are free. For example, I'll give you just for ease of understanding. I'll give you an example. Logical example. In Saudi Arabia, women were not allowed to drive until very recently. And even now, there are many, many restrictions before women gets a driving license. But let's say 5-10 years ago, they were not allowed to drive. Imagine somebody from Saudi, from that context where women are not allowed to drive, come to the UK. And then they make a statement. Now listen carefully. In the UK, even women can drive. Is that a positive statement or is that a negative statement? It's a positive statement. Because, so similarly, in those smartha principles, women, Shudras, Vaishyas cannot touch the Vedas. But if you take shelter of Krishna, even those so-called disqualified categories become qualified. It's a very positive, it's a very hopeful, hope-giving and embracing statement. It's misunderstood to be the complete opposite. But if you know the Sanskrit, it's very clear. These papa yonaha, te api, even they. Yanti, even they come, or they attain Param Gatim. Even they get the highest destination. So in this Smartha and so-called Vedic path, there is limitation. Oh, you are a woman. Oh, you are a Shudra. Or you are a... Actually, to be honest, I come from so-called, from an Indian very nice background. But I find it distasteful, absolutely. When somebody from an Indian background says, oh, I have this background, this qualification. Yeah, the fact is, you were born like cats and dogs. Why are you so proud? What samskaras your parents did? Nothing. Today's brahmanas, they cannot speak, read and write Sanskrit. They cannot understand the Shastra. They have never read the Bhagavad Gita. They only work for Google and Amazon. That's the brahmanas of today. So-called brahmanas. Because they have pious karma. In India, everyone has pious karma. That's why they are born in India. So when these brahmanas were in India, they were beggars almost. These Smartha brahmanas, they are living on charity. But they go to America. And in America, if you look at the general karmic pool, suddenly a brahmana from India is coming. His karma is so higher, so much higher. So he becomes some big manager in Google, in Microsoft. It's not because he is some extraordinary person, to be honest. It's just his karma works so much better against the karma pool of the others. So he goes up. That's all it is. And he thinks, I'm somebody. Distasteful. I find it, I can say I am of the same breed, but I find it distasteful completely. Because it's the Vaishnava who is superior. Even the Brahmanas on the altar are Vaishnava Brahmanas. The Vaishnavas are superior. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's contribution was this, that Vaishnavas are superior. And when we give a book to someone, we give them the opportunity to become a Vaishnava, to rise above this so-called limitation. That is Srila Prabhupada's contribution. That is what Prabhupada has given us. What Prabhupada has given us? No spiritual personality in any other movement or anywhere else has given. So yes, we must distribute Prabhupada's books to everyone. In fact, when Prabhupada speaks about chanting Hare Krishna, he says, even a dog can participate in the chanting. I sometimes wonder how a dog will participate. But yeah, Prabhupada is saying he will participate. We have examples. Even in modern day, in California, there is one very senior Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Sannyasi. And there is a dog who lives in the compound. And she every morning does a few hundred parikramas of Tulsi. She fasts on Ekadashi. She dances in the kirtan. So we can see even a dog can participate. So books, Prabhupada books should go everywhere. They should touch everyone. Like Prabhupada said in Australia, he said, anyone who touches these books is guaranteed to be born in a human form of life. Now you might wonder, well, that's quite a bold statement, isn't it? I don't think that's true. No, it is true. Why is it true? This life, he has touched the book. But he said, thank you, but I don't need it. And he gave it back. If this life he has touched the book, what's the next thing? If somebody has touched the book, if you go to a library, you touch a book, a nice book, and you thought, well, it's nice, but not right now. What's the next thing for you? You go back and read, right? So if this person has touched the book, if he has to read it in his next life, he has to be born as a human being. He's not going to be a monkey reading a Prabhupada book. Yeah? So, we know he will be born as a human being. So everyone, these books should go everywhere. Very powerful. Haribol. Modi, the Prime Minister of India. Yeah. It'll be nice to invite him on the book marathon. let's do that. You do that. You send him a letter and say, please join us at the book marathon. Then you should tell him, join us in the book marathon. Yeah. Ask him to join the book marathon then, yeah. Modi will be good. Narendra Modi, yeah. All right. Any other comments? Questions? Yes. Yes. There's a microphone coming around. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to say myself, like, I can say, like, I was in a Sudra family. I can say like that, you know. But when I was 12, that time I touched Krishna book. My auntie, she bought the Krishna book, and when I was 12. And that time I read just one Leela only. I that remember. And by Krishna's mercy, like, you know, the book is how is, like, valuable. Like, Srila was just said, you said, like, you know, is, like, I got from Indiksha from my Guru Maharaj. So I'm just saying, like, Srila Prabhupada said, whatever, like, his book is very, very powerful. And that's why I distributed last book marathon in I'm from Eastern Birmingham. And first time in my 12 years KC life, I came first stop in book distributor. And I just say I want to raise £100 for the, like, my Eastern temple. By Krishna's mercy, I raised £232. And I just distributed all around, like, you know, I just went myself and... But I feel like the book's distribution is so important for every devotee, single devotee. Because, you know, we helping other people to, like, to bring back to Lord Krishna. So the books, Srila books is very, very important. You know,
whoever touches, absolutely.
If they touch, still they will get the benefit. So I can say
thank you.
Thank you so much. So I want to say this answer.
It's my thank you.
Experience.
Thank you for sharing.
Very much.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. It was a very nice class and nice discussion. I just had this one basic kind of doubt. I don't know how to put it, but it's like, according to Bhagavad Gita, we are the soul, right? We are part and parcel of Lord. So why should this discussion even come? Who is a Shudra? Who is a woman? Who is a... I mean, all of us are souls. We are just... This is just a quote, right?
Absolutely.
And it's like, we have all our parts and parcels of the Lord. So why should we even have the distinction? This is a man. This is a woman. This is a Shudra. This is a Brahmin. And it's like, even in India, now the caste system doesn't exist anymore. I was born in India. I've lived almost 30 years in India. I've not... Except for, say, maybe some reservations for SCST. We don't hear it anymore. So it's like, I mean.
Yes. So why should we even bother having this distinction between men and women and because we are a spirit soul? That's a nice question. However, although we are spirit soul, we are also living in this world. And these distinctions are natural. Prabhupada, and in fact, Krishna says that the distinction of the four castes, I mean, in any country, even where they don't have the Varnashrama system, there are warriors, there are the soldiers who go out for war, there are the ministers, the politicians, there are the, you know, the thinking class, the professors of universities. And Srila Prabhupada actually once said that Mahaprabhu fought against the Smartha Brahmanas, my Guru Maharaj fought against the Brahmanas, and we should now fight against the professors of universities. We should challenge them because they are fools and rascals, Prabhupada said. So he said that in the parampara of my Guru Maharaj, we should challenge them. So anyway, to your point, these distinctions anyways exist. You know it that we are spirit soul, but there are entire sections of society. For example, you say, why should we have this discussion? If you walk into any temple in India, anywhere in India, you would not be allowed on the altar. Would you be allowed? No, because they follow certain norms according to the smartha. Smartha means one who follows smriti is a smartha. Yeah? Sometimes we call them, yeah, anyway. So one who follows Smriti Shastra is a Smartha. They follow Smriti Shastra. And according to Smriti Shastra, women are disqualified. Vaishyas are disqualified. Shudras are disqualified. Only Kshatriyas and Brahmanas can do certain duties. So even today in India, if you go to any temple, some small temple, Ganesh temple, or not that I'm asking you to go, but I'm just telling, if you were to visit some place, you will see there are distinctions. Krishna says, these distinctions don't exist for one who has taken shelter of me. You see, understand this, there is philosophy. From philosophy, there are principles, and from principles, there are practices. We should go right up to the practice. What these other smarthas and others do, they know some philosophy, but they don't know the principles, and they don't follow the practices. They are only superficial, and hence, this discussion that we are having is not having because we are in support of what they do, what these distinctions are. It's because what you are saying. Yeah? He's not saying that there are distinctions. He's saying exactly what you are saying. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for your class. It cleared up a lot of stuff for me. I just wanted to tell you, Shivram Maharaj, because you were told us that story about the Vaishnava that took the mercy. Many years ago, when the Russian devotees first came to India, and they had been persecuted, and they were very great souls. They had sacrificed everything for Krishna and for preaching. They had been tortured and everything. So Maharaj invited them over with B.B. Maharaj, and they, first of all, they sprinkled a bit of dust, so they would walk in this dust when they came in, and then they asked them to wash their feet there, and then they served them prasadam, and they served them so much that they had to leave some, and it was on leaf plates, so they couldn't take it. They said, oh, don't worry, we'll give it to the animals. Then after they left, they got the dust, they got the water, and they took the prasadam, and they decided not to tell anyone because the devotees, they were just young devotees, might have felt really bad, but it reminded me of that past time.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. And actually, you brought up something very interesting. If you go to any Indian family generally, I know you from an Indian background, they will, while they serve you prasadam, they'll serve you. They keep serving you. And even when you've said, okay, enough, the first enough is not enough, they give you more. The second time, still not enough, they keep giving you. So this is a cultural reminiscence of, or rather a customary thing, people just do it now. But its roots are in the fact that in olden times, when great personalities, Vaishnavas, were invited, or sadhus were invited, Vaishnava sadhus were invited, the custom was that you would feed them so much that at the end they can't eat. There will be a limit, right? I mean, I love gulab jamuns, but you give me 3, I'm fine. 6, I'm excited. 10, I will manage. The 11th, I'll just leave, right? So, when I leave the 11th, the whole point was you feed so much that they leave something. And when they leave something, you accept that remnant. So that was the cultural thing. See, the cultural aspects all have a reason. We don't think about it. We just think, I don't want to go to this Indian guy's house because he's just going to feed me to death. You know? But it's not they feed you to death. There is this reason. Of course, now they just do it without the reason. Because if you, whatever is your leftover, go straight in the bin. It's not going to go somewhere, straight in the bin. But this was the context. So, thank you for sharing. And, yeah, we should learn to be devotees of the devotees of the Lord. We should be able to appreciate each and every person in the temple, no matter what their background, what their, you know, whether you are black or white or whatever background, you know, black man, white man, yellow man, or like David, an Irish man. You know, it's they are not these. They are Vaishnavas, and it's the Vaishnavas that Mahaprabhu says he is doing alingana. There's another verse where he's embracing Ramananda Rai, not because he is a government servant, not because he is a Kayastha Shudra family, but because he is a Vaishnava. And it's that superiority of a Vaishnava that Srila Prabhupada emphasizes. There are no distinctions. So let us rise above these so-called discriminations and distinctions and truly become the devotees of the Lord, the lovers of the Lord. And that is what the goal of life is. So thank you very much for your time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samveda Bhaktavrinda ki jai.